Hi there, this is Dan Delta Collins. You're listening to Wandering DMs. Wandering DMs is broadcast live every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on twitch.tv/wanderingdms and also youtube.com/wanderingdms. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Wandering DMs. I'm Paul.
And I'm Dan. On today's episode of Wandering DMs, we're going to be talking about superhero games. Arguably, neither super nor heroic nor really games. Discuss among yourselves.
Fascinating, Dan,
you don't think they're super.
You don't think they're super?
No, I don't. I'm saying other people, unnamed people who I will not identify have said that. I hear things, Paul. I hear things. I read, you know, yeah. I'm on.
Yeah. You know, the funny thing is, it's as a setting, it's just never really appealed to me. And I think that's part of that is the grandioseness of the setting, like especially, you know, and we went full tilt into this in our face rip game, in our Tuesday games, right? We're playing Thor, top of the line, like just amazing abilities over just everything is unearthly. Like, you can't even use words like astounding and amazing because it's better than that.
Right.
And I'm like, that's not for me, man. I like low power. I like gritty scenarios. If and when I'm playing superheroes, I don't want to play like the current Marvel movies. I want to play the movie Mystery Men. Do you remember that movie?
All right. Well, of course, it was great. I really like that movie, honestly.
Yeah. So I want humor. I want ridiculous abilities that aren't really actually any good.
Yeah.
Favorite thing from that is the character who can turn invisible if no one's looking.
Right.
Which is just oh my gosh, what an ability! That is so ridiculous and stupid. And the fact that they managed to write a scene into the movie where it actually turned out to be a benefit. They had to come up with a very specific use case. I'm like, it's actually
remind me how that came up. I actually don't remember
I think he had to sneak past cameras. I think he had to security cameras or lasers or
that
something.
Was my
some
guess.
Mechanical vision detecting thing that he was
that
able
was my
to sneak
guess.
Past.
I really like so obviously that was inspired by the comic series Captain Carrot or something like that.
Was it? I know. See, there's a comic book I actually read as a kid.
Oh really?
I did read Captain Carrot.
Very indie.
Yeah.
And I really like. I don't know if it's from the book, but I really always liked Janine Garofalo's character with the crystal bowling ball with her father's skull in it.
I think Captain Carrot
really
though. I think Captain Carrot though was mostly it was animals, but it was anthropomorphic animals. But I think they still had reasonably good abilities, right? Captain Carrot could still like fly and was super strong and shit like that. So I think I'm trying to think of it. I remember reading other comics of that era that were more in the lines of like, no, these characters like the Tick, right? Where your characters are, I don't know, less useful. Even the Tick, a lot of their abilities are pretty useful.
There was an actual Mystery Men comic, and actually I don't know if that was a spin-up, but I got like kind of a late era comic, and actually it was really hardcore. It's actually one of the most gruesome circa 2010 I got an issue of Mystery Men that was like a focus on the villains, like following the villains around, and it was vile. It was one of the most upsetting comics I've ever gotten, actually. It was real nasty.
So I presume our taste in comics is radically different here, right? Because you clearly really
like
Thor.
That's what I'm hearing. You're right. I threw you into the deep end, maybe that was inappropriate. But yeah, actually, it's true. I have always liked the opposite end. I've always liked, close to cosmic level heroes of like, what kinds of dilemmas would you have in that situation of whereby you actually have too much power and you're some combination of dangerous or just crushing levels of responsibility. What would you do in those kinds of cases? And like, I kind of like, I'm not a huge Superman fan, but some issues of Superman, they've had like Superman with his super hearing can hear every single person in trauma, like on the continent, but he doesn't have enough time to deal with all of them? How does he prioritize or not go insane hearing all that kind of stuff? So it's true. My favorite. Yeah. There you go. Sleep well tonight, everybody. My favorite superhero characters have always been Hulk, Thor, Juggernaut, you know, people like that that are really, frankly, overwhelmingly dangerous.
Yeah, as we get into, like, more modern Marvel movies, like, of those movies, my preference leans more into Spider-Man. Spider-Man, I feel like, is he's got more flaws. He's got plenty of good, strong abilities, but he's just a little better, you know, or Batman, right, who's just, like, a pretty good human. I like that. But then, I don't know, that lines up perfectly for me with, you know, with my tastes in fantasy gaming, the idea, that it's more Conan and less Lord of the Rings.
So Ash is challenging me on Juggernaut being a hero. So obviously that was a series of people that were both. I mean, Hulk's barely a hero. That was a series of people who were both heroes and villains. But there are, you can go to particular episodes of issues of X-Men where Juggernaut actually does flip flop both ways. Actually, good catch. Good catch. So, you know, I think some people use the phrase like, you know, gritty hero or street level heroes for that. So maybe I should have picked something like, maybe for you, I should have picked something like that. So let me kind of draw a continuum here. So from top to bottom, like you would prefer to play in the zone of Hulk, Thor, the Thing from the Fantastic Four, one of the members of the Fantastic Four, the Amazing Spider-Man, Captain America, Iron Fist, Black Widow, the Punisher, Nick Fury. Where on that spectrum would you of power?
Here's a problem for me. There's at least three of those names there that I know nothing about. Okay. So, I've totally lost where you said.
Above Amazing Spider-Man, perfect or above or below? You want to go below Spider-Man?
I would go below Spider-Man, to be honest.
So, like in the Avengers movies, you know, you have Black Widow and you have Hawkeye and you have Nick Fury, who are really just normal people who are well trained.
But that sounds cool. I don't know anything about any of those characters, but okay.
Hawkeye shoots arrows super well. Super well is what he does.
Yep. Like that, right? I feel like I've seen or heard jokes about that, about how like that's not really a power. But also, I like a little bit of humor and a little bit of darkness. To which end, like, I can start to get behind Punisher, but I think he goes a little too extreme into just, like...
I agree,
emo there, right? Right? Whereas I like Spider-Man's moral challenges, right? The balancing being a normal teenager and having to deal with... also maybe being a superhero. Okay, we've gone really deep on our own personal opinions on superheroes, but I want to bring us back to gaming. So out of curiosity, Dan, given that we have this spectrum of likes and dislikes, in your mind, what is the best system for you for playing a superhero game?
You know, I might be really biased. I fear that I'm really biased. And as I was thinking about this today, you know, the other thing is I'm actually not one of these people that actually samples lots and lots of systems. Like there are some people that really highly recommend sampling lots of systems, and I tend to grab one and dig really deep into it for, you know, years and years and years and try to achieve system mastery with it. So admittedly, you know, the one that I played the most is Marvel Superheroes. And, you know, when I play other systems, I do, you know, try to I try to more or less recreate what I get to do at Marvel Superheroes, frankly. But for me, that served me really well.
We also have played Hero, and we've played Mutants and Masterminds.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally true. Totally true.
I can't say that I super dug deep enough into Mutants and Masterminds to form a strong opinion of it. It seems more balanced, maybe, than Hero. I know that we struggled with Hero and the balance level.
I would say the same thing. So obviously, Hero was around in the 80s, and you know, our good friend BJ probably dug into those systems more than either one of us did. And he had a long running campaign called Base that he had for decades. And he had a series of characters leading other characters with different groups for decades.
Yep.
And so he was running Hero at one point, which was a game from the 80s, and switched to Mutants and Masterminds when that came out in the early 2000s. And I agree. So Hero, I semi unintentionally, you know, just broke it by making a robot. Those systems allowed you to be completely overpowered. I was actually looking at my old character sheet here. And so I made a giant robot wolf with lots of overpowered weapons called Warg. And I was looking at my character sheet earlier today, and there's the top of the character sheet has a quote, and the key quote was, "Am I authorized to use deadly force?" Yeah. And so the way that I made that work was that I would constantly be asking the other characters, "Am I authorized to use deadly force?" And everybody would go, "No, yeah. That was terrible. Yeah. Don't do that." And I was like, "All right, systems down."
Right. We had a super team that ranged from a guy who could like turn invisible and be sneaky. Right. To like your character, who's basically like a nuclear submarine, right, or like an aircraft carrier. It was basically So Warg walking around was like, why did we bring an entire battalion, armored battalion, with us? Like, what's going on here? I was kind of stuck in a weird medium level there, or upper, I would say, like extra medium, right. You know, medium, but more medium. I had rolled a regular human character with sort of kind of classic, I think I had electro shock abilities, and was also very charismatic and very strong. And right. I think I just had rolled really well. So it was kind of on the upper end of the spectrum of that.
The
problem was I was trying to play more like the guy who was like, I'm invisible sometimes and I can sneak. And those are my only abilities. Other than that, I'm, you know, just a guy. Right. And I was trying to play more in that direction. And the problem was I would like use my weakest ability and still kill people and go, I don't want that. I don't want to kill people with my weakest ability. Thank you very much.
I think that, you know, it's interesting that because the Hero system seemed to me like maybe not super play tested. I could be crazy wrong, but I mean, you know, it's a fairly big book. It had lots and lots of little detailed subsystems, and I'm not super surprised that the various subsystems don't hook into each other perfectly well. I mean, that's one thing I do like about the Marvel game, and it's funny because it's hugely different than how I play D&D, is that there's a fairly good amount of cushioning between someone being actually...
I had to share that one.
Pretty much right on.
Yeah, except more guns than that. That was not enough.
It's true. At some point, someone did say yes, use, and I was outside the, because I couldn't fit in buildings. That was the other thing, is I couldn't actually. I was 30 feet tall, so I couldn't
just
actually
mowed
fit
them
in
down.
Buildings. I just mowed the building. I just, and the building itself just goes. Gets cut in half.
Yeah, yeah. And this on a team with a guy who's like, I'm invisible.
I enjoyed the challenge of trying to be part of the team. I honestly enjoyed the challenge of trying to come up with reasons why I would work with the team and not just wreck everything all the time. So that for me, that was, you know, that was enjoyable. For other people, maybe not. So one of the things I like about Marvel is there's a big cushioning between people actually dying. So I feel like that is, you know, synchronous with comic books. And if you just took the D&D system, for example, and said, now you're superpowers, well, there'd be, you know, you'd be playing Watchmen and The Boys and all kinds of, like, you know, people being torn up all the time, which is not what most people expect when they go into a superhero game.
So if I was going to run a superhero game, I would actually choose Savage Worlds. I think Savage Worlds perfectly fits that genre. In general, like, the funny thing about Savage Worlds is it tries to be this generic system, but I think that actually there's only a couple settings that it actually really fits very well. And those settings are settings that have a direction towards high level of action, right? Like big over-the-top action. Right. So that can be anywhere from like Indiana Jones-esque pulp, you know, to superheroes. Right. And I think anything outside of that range, Savage Worlds, you start to fight the system a little bit. And I've warped it. You know, I run horror games in Savage Worlds, and I have to like really warp the hell out of the system to make it work.
Right.
And I can, but just like buy the book Savage Worlds, I think would be really good for superheroes.
So William was saying a couple minutes ago that, that he finds that superhero games tend to be either pretty abstract or super granular.
Yep.
Which I think is a pretty good observation. So Paul, your preference would be which one of those things if you had to pick a direction?
Well, give me an example, I guess, of a game system that goes very abstract with superheroes. Is that like Marvel? Is that what?
I feel like the original, so I could be crazy, but I feel like the original Marvel basic rules are pretty abstract.
Yeah.
And I like these qualitative specifiers on your abilities and powers. You're either incredible, remarkable, excellent. There's actually a qualitative descriptor.
Right.
Now, the funny thing is...
Yeah. But I assume, I didn't have the rules in front of me, but I'm guessing that, like, I had that list of powers, and you were basically just had to interpret what the hell it meant if I tried to roll on one of those powers. Like, if I call lightning... Were there rules about like it does this much damage at these levels, or were you like, I guess?
Well, you know everything. Well, everything does your power rank damage. That's actually a pretty easy call.
Right.
So
right. Okay. Okay.
Let me just hold up my light's not great. I apologize. So like I think you can see here that over here. Right. So you know on the basic table, excellent is 20, remarkable is 30. Right. So if I have remarkable lightning, clearly it's going to do 30 points. Or any kind of power like
that. Okay. Okay, but the actual manifestation of it, I assume you have to interpret, right? You as GM have to be like, what does this mean? How does it affect the world, the scenario, the setting, the like does it, you know, does lightning coming down in when it's, you know, when you're in the ocean electrocute people?
You know, that's funny. Those I don't remember those things coming up a whole heck of a lot, honestly. Okay. So in that kind of situation, sure, you would have to, right. I totally agree.
I'm just trying to feel out this statement of granular versus abstract so I can, like, I need examples of which one's which because I don't know.
Well, let me show you this. Okay, so a couple years later, like a year or two later, they came out with the advanced set. Here's the box of the advanced set. Mm-hmm. Now, they tweak the, here's the modified universal table in the advanced set. And among other things, you can see that now, I've used this a lot, so you can't see this super well. But you see, now there's actually a range for the rank numbers in that gray bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And remarkable is not just 30, it's anything from 26 to 36, and so on and so forth for everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you make, and one of the things I really hated about that is the pre-existing characters, if they've got remarkable, they got 30 points. But if you make your own custom hero and you start off with remarkable rank, that's worth 26 points. So now you're like, oh, for Pete's sake, I'm doing a 26 point attack, and maybe you have 17 points of body armor.
Gotcha.
And now it's 9 points. So I feel like that's clearly more granular.
Gotcha. So you're talking about the raw numbers, of the system.
That's one example. That would be one example.
Okay. I don't know. I generally prefer rules that are lighter and get out of my way and are easy to reason about. Yeah. So in which case I think I would lean more towards the abstract. Just because
when you say Savage Worlds, that's what comes to mind. I think that's the direction that you're talking about. The abilities are, you know, fairly short, like feats and abilities in Savage Worlds tend to be about 3 or 4 lines long, if I recall correctly.
They're reasonably short. There are a lot of options. You know, it innately builds in the hindrance and edge system so that, like, if you have something good about your character, you probably also have something bad about your character.
Yeah.
Which I like. I know that there's, you know, you talk about breaking systems, honestly. You know, a lot of folks will recognize that kind of system dates back to, like, GURPS. I played some GURPS when I was in college, and I remember a friend just thoroughly breaking that by making a magic cat. He was basically a sentient cat who could cast spells, and then racked up the points by saying, I don't have hands. Get the points for that. I can't talk. I get the points for that. Right. Built up, just racked up all these points that just come from being a cat. and then spent all those points on things that way overcame it. Oh, I can't talk, but I'm psychic and I can speak telepathically.
Right.
I don't have hands, but I can fly and I have telekinesis. Right. And the character was just ridiculously powerful. Like the most powerful character in any fantasy game I've ever seen.
Right.
And he was a cat. Yeah.
Well, I think so. Of course, that falls right into one of my like top three dogmas, right? That point buy systems are always going to be broken like that. So a table of like, here's the ways you can get points and here's ways you can spend points is, in my experience, just always, always broken.
Yeah.
Because there's too many interactions to have possibly been play tested. And technically, I think that's how I broke that ward character. It was because the robot system, it technically wasn't points. They actually just gave you dollars. They actually said, it was like, roll here for how many dollars you have. And I've rolled like, I don't know, $5 million. And then there's a list of things to buy, actually. So obviously that's a point value system. So I'm not super surprised about that. And I think that's one of the things that attracted us and BJ to the Mutants and Mastermind system that came out early 2000s, was based on the D20 system. It did feel like they had balanced the powers better than systems I'd seen before.
Okay.
It's so
funny that it's dollars, and like immediately, like a jerk, what I want to do is go in and modify or make a system like that where it's like, oh yeah, the rocket launcher is super cheap, but what power system do you have? Well, you're going to need an adapter. Here's how much the adapter costs. Actually, this adapter is the cheap Chinese knockoff, so it's going to break after three uses.
A small tangent is happening right now. Everybody, just so everybody's aware, there is a small tangent happening right now. That was not an actual comment. I should point out, I should have pointed out at the top, I should have given context to this show, because we are reviewing superhero systems, because the last 3 weeks on our Tuesday solo show, we were running Marvel Face Rip. If you haven't seen that, I really enjoyed that play. So you can look at our solo show superhero game the last 3 weeks. That has ended because starting this Tuesday, we're going to transition to a dev developer show that we're going to use for Tuesday. And Paul, I hope you haven't forgotten that we are working on a new show called The Big Bad, which is currently in production and should be released in the fall. And we'll be giving little tidbits out from week to week that we can release publicly. So I hope you haven't forgotten that we're still working on The Big Bad, Paul.
I've not forgotten that fact. Not forgotten that fact as I look here at my blue microphone and think, how fastly can I disconnect it from here and bring it over to the set, get that thing plugged in? When's the show end? pretty aware.
I like the inspired idea for the modified hero system of a whole bunch of drawbacks, and you could like roll dice of like, does this actually work? Right? Maybe those dollars were just bupkis, right? Yeah, just totally wasted.
Oh, this one got lost in shipping. We'll give you your credit back. It's fine, but you're gonna have to buy a different thing. The one you want's out of stock.
You know, just random, interesting, creative observations you've got today, Paul.
Basically, what I want to do is build a superhero robot creation system that's more like Original Traveler, where you could possibly die. We went bankrupt. Honestly, we were unable to make a robot. Sorry.
The project was terminated. It went in development hell. It didn't work.
It looked great on paper, but then it just...
Would you like to take out a larger loan?
Oh, God, that would be delightful. No, it wouldn't. No, it wouldn't. People would hate that.
Would you like to bring in a venture capital partner?
All right, go see subtable 6 to generate the venture capitalist character who is now a permanent NPC in the game. Okay.
Oh, jeez. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. Bit of a tangent. Okay. Let's get back here. Ash agreed with you. He says, in my experiences with systems, picking boons and flaws from a codified list is that it's abused at best.
I agree with that. And I tend to think that I've never seen one that was balanced every time. And I philosophically don't believe that those things can actually be balanced. You have to, the acid test is gameplay. You got to test every single separate combination that you could bring to the table. And that has to be a doable game design thing. I'm going to read a couple power descriptions from different editions of Marvel Superheroes, if that's okay. So you're asking about the electrical ability. So in the original box, you get this campaign book. You get about 7 pages of make your own hero type stuff. And here's the paragraph on all energy distance weapons. Which includes electricity, cold, energy, fire, sound, and dark force weapons. These energies can be directed against a specific target, causing damage equal to the power rank. If the hero also has the power to control this energy, it can be modified for different effects.
Great. So no range, no indication of its effect on targets other than clearly living creatures.
Correct.
No description of what impact it may have on the terrain or the environment in any way. That's great. Honestly, correct. I love that. Great.
Correct.
I will invent it at the table as needed.
Are you sure? Because we could go to the advanced rules, and here you get the player book, and the whole back half of this book now is they've expanded the different abilities, and now the power list goes about 30 pages, and they tend to be, like body alterations, offensive, take up like half a page. Here's what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. But wait, if that's not enough for you, perhaps you're interested in the Ultimate Powers book, which is an entire book just of different superpowers. And now the abilities tend to go like, I think that's just one there.
Uh-huh.
1, 2, 3, 4 columns, right?
Text.
So yep. any particular power here has possibly like a page or two of text to it, and so I'm sure that so it's a product, and it's ultimate. So some people went out and bought it.
Yeah. Yourself included, apparently.
yeah. And, again, the more text you write, the more ways it's going to be broken, to be perfectly frank. Are the powers in this book, like, perfectly fine-tuned and refined and simple? Actually, no. I find them to be more broken in ways than the simple stuff. The simple stuff, at least the referee can step in, feel like they understand the context and make reasonable adjudications. But this thing and all that text, there's all kinds of places that have little untested, broken, crazy crap in it.
Yep.
And so when I did try to run a game with that Ultimate Powers book, it was actually much more broken than what I'd done, prior to that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't have the Savage Worlds book in easy reach, or I would look that up and tell you what it has to say about energy attacks, but I'm pretty sure it just boils down to one power with, like, depending on how many points of your energy mana, whatever the hell they call it, you do this many dice of damage.
Gotcha. We are not doing a Powers Through the Ages column. We're not going
to
do that.
But let me elaborate a little bit about why I would do Savage Worlds, because there is, in fact, one of the things I like about Savage Worlds, there was some great writing about different settings and campaigns that came out maybe 10 years ago at this point. And there was one book that came out that when I read, I was like, if I was ever going to run a superhero game, this is the superhero game I would run.
Okay.
And it's called Necessary Evil. And the basic gist behind it, in addition to, like, I think the rules for Savage Worlds probably work pretty well for superhero stuff. But the theme, the basic content of that campaign is you have normal superhero Earth. And then another new kind of enemy has shown up and wiped out all of the superheroes. You are low-grade supervillains, and realize if you want to have an Earth to still supervillain about in, you're going to have to take on these bad guys, this new force of things.
That's interesting.
Which I really like, right? I like that you're low-grade. I like that you're villainous, right? You're not actually heroic, but you're just like, well, we have to band together, otherwise Earth's going to be just overrun and destroyed and taken over by this new enemy.
Interesting.
So we must band together. I think that would be super fun.
And super that's for fun, what? That was made for what? There's your power.
The power of puns.
And that was made for what system? Did I miss what
Savage
system
Worlds.
That's
made? That was made for Savage Worlds.
Okay. Fascinating. Interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing I was wondering. I mean, so let me critique. Let me actually bring in another system. Actually, one thing that you can critique about Marvel is that, frankly, the math is insane. There wasn't any rhyme or reason to where they came up with the numbers for the ranks. If you look at the pattern, it's like just Looney Tunes. As you pointed out, like how powerful a lightning blast is, or heat, or something like that, is just completely made up all over the map, and there's little rhyme or reason. You can contrast that with, at the same time, they had a DC Heroes system for Mayfair Games. Mm-hmm. And that, I didn't play that, but to my understanding, that was actually set up with like a mathematically rigorous foundation of like every power rank was specifically two times double the power of the prior one. And they didn't have these qualitative descriptors. So you'd have, I think Superman had a 40 in strength, and and Batman had a 12 in strength or something like that. And so it had a more consistent foundation, which would attract me. But in retrospect, I don't see people talk about the DC Heroes system as much as people talk about Face Rip. So there's something about the qualitative nature or the fact that there's a bunch of gaps that you have to fill in that I think has given Face Rip bigger legs than the DC Hero system, which is one of those weird historical things, if I'm not misinterpreting how popular the two systems were.
Okay. Interesting. Are there any like really like big ticket popular superhero games out there that people are playing that we haven't discussed here? I don't think so.
I mean, there are these there are these retro clones that are on DriveThruRPG, which are slight modifications usually of Marvel. What I usually see are things that are recreating Marvel. You've got Jay Parker's G-Core system. Mm-hmm. Which took Marvel, got rid of the table, turned everything into percentage basis. You've got a retro clone called Face Rip. I think that Mutants and Masterminds is still out on its third edition, I think. So I could be missing stuff. And of course, my knowledge tends to be more, old school 70s, 80s stuff. So it would be real possible for me to be missing stuff. Yeah, so William's saying the DC system had several revisions, but Face Rip sort of stayed the same. And, the funny thing is, in the early 2000s, DC licensed their properties to Mutants and Masterminds, if I recall correctly. So there was a Mutants and Masterminds system officially licensed DC Heroes, I think, in the early 2000s. So they certainly stepped in as the big ticket in the last 20 years. Yep. Interesting.
Okay. But there's not like a 800-pound gorilla. There's not a fifth edition superheroes game that I'm just blithely on.
I don't, not to my knowledge. Okay. Someone would have to tell us if that's the case. I kind of don't think so.
All right.
Which is interesting.
Admittedly, again, given my own proclivities, it's just not something I've ever looked for. So it's I just don't have a good awareness of this.
One thing we should mention is, like, to the extent to, so with both of us working in, video games, we have had to deal with the licensing issue, right? So frequently getting a license is the difference between actually doing a project and not doing a project. And where I was with NASCAR Racing, we had an entire licensing department that just full-time was tracking down everybody's separate intellectual property for drivers and cars and makes and tracks and tires and gas and everything. If you were going to play a superhero game, would you prefer to play a custom hero or would you prefer to play a known character that pre-exists?
I would personally prefer to play a custom hero. Now that's because I don't really know a ton about the, vast array of existing superheroes. And then frankly, because I want to find some humor, right? I want to find some, right. Some level of contradiction in my character, which generally just doesn't exist in the genre that I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you? You want to play the big names?
Maybe that makes me dirty, but I got to admit that actually does attract me. Yeah. It's an easy in. It attracts me, and it gives a backstory that I can kind of hook into.
Yeah. We're firmly in opinion ground here. I don't think there's a right or wrong or answer.
Now, the other thing I will say for the viewer's point of view is that I will say I've seen Paul play known Marvel characters, and it was spectacular. So I've seen him play Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four, and our friend Adam played the Thing, and I thought that was one of the most marvelous game performances I've ever seen. And Paul nailed Mr. Fantastic like 100%.
I'm surprised by that. No. I thought I was barely hanging on by the tips of my fingers there.
No.
So the only reason I know that character is for some damn reason when I was like 10 or 11, somehow I ended up getting into the spin-off comic Power Pack. Which includes Mr. Fantastic's son. And so I kind of vaguely knew those characters through that.
Right.
There you go. Power
Pack, created by Louise Simonson, wife of artist Walter Simonson. Great team. I basically just know Power Pack because they showed up in Thor once or twice.
There you go. Right. It's the crossovers that got it. I think I was the right age. That was clearly a comic that was trying to appeal to a younger audience. And I was at the right age for it when it came out. And so,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it. I remember liking it. I think I still have them in a box somewhere. There you go.
Now, the other thing I should say is it might make a difference between traditionally we have these discussions and later on we realize, oh, there's a big difference between like one-off conventions and long-term campaign play. Mm-hmm. So granted that we have been playing a lot of like one-off stuff in the last couple of years, it's certainly easier to step into a known character if you're just playing for one session.
That is totally true. That is totally true. And it's almost easier to play with the other strangers at the table, right? Because, you're sitting down, you've never met these people before, but you know the character they're playing, and so you know what tropes they're going to try for, hopefully, assuming they know the character well. Right. So, yeah, I could see that.
So when we played with Jay Parker at TotalCon 2019, I think, he came with the giant binder of the Marvel official universe gaming stuff, and he just said, what do you guys want to play? And he riffed through the 800-page binder and just gave out anybody what they wanted, and we immediately knew who's, sort of leader and who's who's dumber and who's, more dexterous, and we immediately knew what everybody's abilities were just from the name. So it worked super well at a convention with about 10 people around the table. We immediately knew who everybody was. And that's a good point. I haven't played a superhero campaign in many, many, many years. I can see wanting to make your own thing. And I can see, as a couple people said in the chat there, wanting to play in a known universe and maybe contacting like known NPCs and feeling like you're part of this larger world that pre-exists. I can see a big draw to that. I mean, obviously that is why licensing is a big thing in games, is that suddenly opens the door to people, a much larger group of people having a hook into your property. So it's not like that's a big surprise or something like that. And I think I agree with William's saying, I don't see supers as being super good for long form play in the first place. And I think I might agree with that. I would be very easily convinced of that, actually.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you see it in the movies, right? Like how many times do they redo the origin story rather than continue to evolve the story, right? Yeah. it's a good point. What do you
I'm going to step in. I'm going to gripe about something here. I never know where to put this on my blog, but I'm furious at Batman Rises because he quits twice. He quits twice in that movie. And I'm like, the Batman doesn't quit. That's the whole thing to that character. The whole thing to that character is he comes through all kinds of trauma and he doesn't quit. And that character, they have Batman quit not once, but twice in Batman. The movie starts and he's already quit. And then he has to come back and then he quits again at the end. And I'm like, I don't know what the problem is with the movie trilogy system that they have to have the character, you know, be terminated at the end of it. Why can't you end the movie and just say, and Batman continues like this for many years? Why can't you say that in a movie? I don't get it. Oh, I finally got it off my chest.
Okay, good. Oh. Okay.
I'm glad. Anyway, I interrupted you. What were you saying?
I'm sorry, I'd have a bigger reaction, but I haven't seen that movie, so okay. And Batman, well, I kind of
I would have my revenge, and you will, when you see it, you would understand what I have to say.
What I was going to ask you was, what do you think about, like, it feels to me like a fairly typical strong superhero trope is the loner versus the team, right?
Yeah.
A lot of superheroes are just one person, one solo person, and then more modern, I almost think, like, only later did we start to get things like X-Men, where you have, you know, groups that are more known for being a group. How do you think that adapts into role-playing games? Is there, like, is it awkward to have a game, especially when you start getting weird team-ups and you're like, oh, it's the Fantastic Four and a loner character from Marvel and Spider-Man, right? Like, is that weird?
That's a great question. The easy part is obviously for a role-playing group, it's very easy to see that you're in the team situation, not actually the solo loner situation.
Yep.
I have come to actually really like the completely arbitrary mishmash of heroes in a game system. Do they do that in the comic books? 100% they totally have done that in the comic books. Has Spider-Man been a member of the Fantastic Four? He really has. There are actually comic books where absolutely. I actually think there's one out right now. I think that there's currently like a Marvel production called Empire, and on the cover is a temporary Fantastic Four made up of Spider-Man and Wolverine, and get this, Franklin Richards. Yeah, and his sister Valeria is on that, at least that cover, the current Fantastic Four, just released at least a month. So they do that, and they had they always had the Marvel team up comic, which is a monthly comic where they arbitrarily threw together Spider-Man and literally any random person.
See, but so, I always felt it was really weird, especially when you get into that power scale problem. Yeah. Like, right? Like, if you team up Superman and Batman, come on. Right. If those, I even have trouble, like, those worlds exist in this. Why doesn't Superman just come and solve the Gotham problem already? Right? Like, what's going on?
Great. I think you could certainly take a slice of a particular power level and say pick from this selection. If I come to a game, if I come to a Marvel game, I always ask, can I play Thor? Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if the ref says no, that's overpowered. Great, I understand. I accept that. If the ref wants to hear me say, like, I'll keep it restrained, or I'll only do what Captain America tells me to do, I'm happy to do that. So if you want to take a slice and make them all the same power level, you know, super, super reasonable to do that. But other than that, I have come to actually enjoy mishmashing a bunch of different, superhero team members, mm-hmm. and the ref and the players having to come up with today's temporary ridiculous reason why they're working together, and I actually come to kind of enjoy it.
All right. I guess you have lots of practice from playing Warg 2.0.
I don't mind that. That's fine. I'm willing to be a support player as long as I get one terrifying moment of hyper violence a month. That's really all I ask.
I'm very reminded of the game that we played that Max ran, where your character had the codes for a nuclear strike.
I didn't make that up. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't even looking for that. I was like, oh, this character, I get it. This character's kind of like a ghost from StarCraft. I get it. Right. Yeah. You're like, oh, there's actually a nuke on the sheet. Okay. I didn't expect to use it. I didn't ask to use it. All of a sudden, all the other players are saying, use the nuke, use the nuke. And I'm like, well, the whole thing here is yes and. So I said yes, and I'm using the nuke now.
Yeah, so and it turns out even Max wasn't prepared for that, and it completely made the game turn make a left turn, and it was wonderful.
I literally blew up the game.
Everyone was surprised.
I was goaded into literally blowing up the game, and the ref had like 30 minutes to get a grip on what was going on. So I apologize, but that was one of the best games ever. So I do, okay. I do encourage the use of the nuke now. That was pretty awesome.
Yep. But it sounds like most games just don't even really bother to address this, right? Like most game systems, when we get back to that power curve, right? As we've seen in Hero and as we've seen in other places, they just don't bother to address it. Or they do address it in such a way that it then becomes impossible to make certain characters, right? If the game is so balanced that, like, oh, everyone's at the same power level, then I can't really make Thor and you make Mr. Fantastic, right? Like, they just can't exist side by side.
I see the problem. I think, like, you know, with DC Heroes, I think, you know, their point-based system was like everybody gets this many points and if the powers aren't too broken, then it sort of works out. Mm-hmm. If, you know, original Marvel, you would actually just roll random dice just like in D&D and you would possibly have completely, unbalanced power levels in the same team and that would be a problem. So that's a real problem. So,
honestly... I think in our superhero game where you were playing Warg, I think the person who was most distressed by it was BJ, right? Like, having to be the DM in that and being like, how do I put something in here that's going to challenge Dan and not crush the other players?
Right. Yeah, you're right.
You're right. That's super, you're super tough.
Yeah, I get that. He was uncomfortable with that. And, you know, I was trying to make everybody comfortable, but it's, you know, the numbers were what they are. And when I push the trigger, it was going to be pretty crazy. I can see. So with supers, you know, granted, you've got an exponential power curve, mm-hmm. and you do have, like with DC Heroes, you've got Batman, who is a normal person with a lot of connections, and a lot of money. My superpower is that I'm rich. And you've got Superman, who in, you know, particular comics can actually throw, you know, moons and planets around and stuff like that. You are kind of, you're in trouble whether you use a point buy system or because point buy systems are always broken, or use a random roll method, because then you're going to get anywhere on this exponential basis and you're going to be completely unbalanced. So that might be part of the reason why I prefer using pre-made known characters in these systems, because I know that I can pick ones out of a particular power level, whereby if I go into any make your own hero system, it's probably broken. I've never seen one that wasn't at least partly broken.
The alternative I would offer is lean super hard into an abstract system, right? Like, now I'm thinking about it, I'm like, well, what if you tried to run one of these games in, say, something like Fate, right?
Yeah.
Where everything is really vague and the characters have just listed, you know, keywords of things that they're good and bad at. And then you're really just making stuff up on the fly as you go. Maybe that gives you more leverage at the table to just adapt to whatever the heck's happening in the scene at the moment and make stuff that's cool. Though, frankly, I don't know about you. I've never run Fate personally. I love the concept, but it makes me really nervous to run just because it leans so hard into your improv ability. Better be ready to go, man, or it's not going to be fun.
I like the idea of playing supers in Savage Worlds. I would queue up as a player to that very, very quickly. Fate is a bridge too far for me up until this point. I haven't played it. I've seen it. Now, I will say in some number of weeks, we will have the creator of Fate, am I right, as guest? I'm confused here.
Yeah, I think you've mixed up some systems.
Right. Okay. Sorry. My bad. Right. The system I've confused is what?
Dread? I think you're thinking of Dread.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Which is so, very different games of Fate.
Totally ignorant. I'm basically ignorant of those are two systems that in my brain are a bridge over in that direction that I haven't taken. So that's why that neuron got scrambled up. I apologize.
Now I'm like looking up who actually wrote the Fate RPG because I don't know off the top of my head.
So that would be a little bit much for me, but Savage Worlds I would go for.
Here just as a last minute Hail Mary here, we should totally get a group together to play another cheat your own adventure game with a super setting.
Oh, I would totally do that. Definitely do that.
That would be great, I think.
Absolutely. I think I can do better. I think everybody outplayed me last time, and I think I can do better. I think I was playing the straight guy last time, so I think I can. Great.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
We'll have
to sign up for that one.
We'll do that.
All right. I think we have really plumbed the well as deep as it goes here for our ability to talk about superhero RPGs. If you have any thoughts about superhero RPGs, any ones we missed, any good ideas of stuff you think we should check out, you want to mock me for my very poor superhero knowledge base, it's fine. Please leave us a comment.
Systems.
Leave us a comment here in the video. We would love to hear from you.
Absolutely. We would. We should continue this conversation once we get more comments drove up. So we really appreciate the chat today, actually. Remember that if you're watching us for the first time, you can like, follow, subscribe to us on basically any social media platform, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We are under Wandering DMs, all one word, on all those sites.
We are. And you can also listen to our shows in audio-only podcast format, if you prefer. Those can be found on our website at wanderingdms.com or through various podcast carriers such as iTunes and Google Podcast and etc. If you are listening to us on one of those other carriers, please take a moment to rate and review us. That helps us out a lot.
It really does. Thanks to everybody that joins in the chat. That really makes things more energetic for us over here. We really appreciate the fact that you contribute so much. And also thanks to the patrons who support our show. We could not possibly do any of the stuff that we're currently doing without your support. If you would like to join... yeah, see? If you would like to... if you would like to play the hero system with the financial rewards and the possible bankrupt capacity or other games, and also join our patrons, please go to patreon.com/wanderingdms, and you can see how you can support the show as well. We'd love to have you on board. Remember, we are live every Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time. If Dan doesn't like pull out various Ethernet cables or destroy links like I did last week. So we'll be back next Sunday. Look for our first session Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern time, for our first developer diary. We're going to chat over how our first production week has gone for The Big Bad and what we can publicly reveal.
Yeah, you can hear me gripe even more about tech problems. No, I'm sure it'll be more than that. We will have some insights, some interesting insights about producing a non-live RPG show for you.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to that myself. I'm very curious what's going to be said on Tuesday.
Yeah, me too.
Don't forget about 10 Dead Rats Thursday night and Book of War Wargaming Saturday night. And we will be back next week for another thought-provoking discussion.
We'll see you then.